on the proposed water and land plan, and the first submitter we have this afternoon is West End Station. Come on up.
Cheers to choose from.
Do indeed.
This is where we got stuck on the first trip.
Right, okay. So thank you very much for your submission, which we've read, so you don't need to reread that to us, but you're very welcome to speak to that and highlight key points for us.
Okay.
Sorry, Lloyd.
Right, thank you for that. So just a slight wee bit of background for myself, for those that don't know where we come from. So we farm in a fairly sensitive place of Southland, right on the boundary of the Fielden National Park. We've been fortunate enough to do a lot of work with Environment Southland, especially the Land Sustainability Team, which incidentally I find absolutely excellent to work with. We've gone through a program of fencing off our waterways. We've developed a farm plan, and as part of that farm plan we ID paddocks that are going to crop for the following winter, identifying any critical source areas, any areas that should be avoided, and best practice on how to graze it. We've also got a nutrient budget. So we do take our environmental responsibilities reasonably pretty seriously and understand our responsibilities. Now the rule 23, intensive winter grazing, I'm just wondering what you're actually trying to achieve by making it a consentable activity. At the moment there's quite a number of rules in place regarding winter grazing. For example, keeping fencing off waterways and making sure that you control your runoff. So the need for a consent, I'm just not quite sure where you're coming from, especially when you look at the way it's set up. Now, if you go for the 50 hectares, for example, the scale doesn't seem to be involved. Now, if you're a larger scale farmer, 50 hectares of winter crop is actually significantly not very much. For example, if you have 250 hectares down country, could be Lockyer or somewhere with very heavy ground, I mean you could have 49 hectares of winter crop on that, which is about 20% of the area in crop, and those sort of soils are reasonably prone to water logging and also compaction, and the environmental impact from that could be quite significant, I expect. And you could have, on the other hand, you'd have 1,000 hectares and have 51 hectares in crop, which is only 5% of the actual land area. And given the fact that a lot of those hill country places or more extensive places are still the majority of sheep, and although sheep still contribute to the nutrient loss, they don't have the same impact on your soils. So most of those places have at least 70% of sheep on winter crop. So the cattle component's probably quite a lot less. So when you look at it from that point of view, I'd look at it from the point of view of environmental outcomes. So in both those two examples, I mean, I definitely believe the environmental outcome from one is much more adverse from the other. It's pretty common sense, to be honest. So under your proposed rules, the one with probably the more adverse environmental effects doesn't need a consent. The ones with very minimal environmental effects does need a consent. And to me, when you actually look at the comment from the staff on the submission so far, what concerns me a wee bit, it seems to be more about process rather than environmental outcomes. They're basically talking about consent efficiency. So with the 50 hectare threshold, it means that it covers more consents. They're going to get more bang for their buck than if you have a 15%. And to me, that's completely wrong, because it's about targeting good environmental outcomes, not how much goes over the desk, how many rubber stamps you need, or ticking the boxes. So to me, it's just a common sense thing. It's Preferably, I'm a great believer in the collaborative approach where you work alongside, especially these land sustainability officers, and you get much better outcomes and you get much better buy-in than just the fact of having to go through a consent is not going to change anything much. But it's just another unnecessary impediment to actually getting on with the job. And I really firmly believe that if you encourage farmers to do the right things and work along with the land sustainability team, along with the present rules that are in place, pretty hard to justify why it needs a consent at all, to be honest. But at the very worst, if you insist on having a consent, then it's got to be targeted on the areas that actually most need the consent to drive the environmental outcome.
Yeah.
So that's basically, I don't want to bore you with a whole heap of, because I can go through and quote you nitrogen loss per hectare per year for various farming systems, and it highlights all that, but I just think if you keep the process simple, it's reasonably obvious where the deficiencies in that proposed rule are.
Okay, shall we see if we have questions for you then?
Yes, I have plenty of questions.
We have questions for you.
Yes, mm-hmm. I mean.
Yeah,
thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just take the scenario that this consenting could or couldn't happen. Mm-hmm. What is the best environmental outcome that you would look at? Is it looking at an area, and it could be 50, it could be different, or a bigger percentage of the property, which would give them better outcome?
Well, I think giving that example that I gave you, if you're going to have a consentable process, it's got to be a percentage of the area, because if you have a straight per hectare basis, then smaller, very intensive wintering systems, if you like, because mm-hmm. I mean, you're saying all wintering systems are intensive, but if you have 50 hectares on 250 hectares of crop, that's much more intensive than having 50 hectares of 1,000 hectares of crop.
What about repeatability of crop in the same area of land?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, it's part of normal good farming practice. For a minute, I don't believe that farmers, for example, I'll just use an example on some of those heavy soils, the repeatability of going for winter crop after winter crop is, they're not going to do it anyway because of the fact is, they know that there's going to be issues with their drainage and they know there's going to be issues further down the track in production. So they're not going to do that. And as more extensive farms, it's just part of normal farming practice because we've got to feed our stock in the winter down here on something. We can't feed them all on grass and all of those in a lot of cases. You're only going through one crop or two crops at the most. So you're part of your pasture renewal process as well.
Do you see a part of the solution as part of the farm environment plan?
And I think that's the key part of the solution. I really believe, I'm a great believer in the farm environmental plan, because when you go through and do that process, it highlights those issues that are likely to come up. And rather than having a straight consenting process, if the farmer hasn't done an environmental plan, then sure, you have to have a default and you have a consent. But if he's done an environmental farm plan and he's addressed those issues, and it can be signed off by a land sustainability officer as, yes, you're putting in the crop, but you've addressed those issues of runoff, you've making sure that you're 3 metres away from any waterways and you're looking at critical source areas, then there's no need to a consent.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
What area do you typically intensive winter graze on your property?
We're probably 100 hectares. But then, in saying that, we're 2,500 hectares.
Yep.
So it's still, as a percentage, it's very low.
Yeah.
And just incidentally, I mean, in our nutrient budget, despite the fact that we do have 100 hectares in crop, our N loss is only 13 kilograms of N per hectare per year, which is still very low.
Yeah.
So it's about intensification of intensive winter grazing is where the, where I think you're missing with using the land area as against the percentage.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Can I ask you about that last point that you said? I wasn't going to ask this question, but I just thought of it now. You have a low loss on a per hectare basis, but you have quite a big area. Mm-hmm. So in terms of the load going to the catchment, even though you might have a low loss on a per hectare basis, the total amount of nitrogen that's getting into the Waiau River, for example, could be quite high if you had a big area of winter grazing.
Yes, but then if the you're talking 2,500 hectares, you're talking of a big area, and it's like 15 k's from one end to the other, and not all the winter crop is in one place. It's not like we are in the one big catchment, but there's a whole heap of farms in the Waiau catchment. Mm. But it'd be different, I think, if you had all that winter crop concentrated on a relatively small part of the farm. But because it's spread over the large area of the farm, then by the time, I mean, sure, you're going to get a certain amount, but it's very, by the time it gets into the river, then it's very low. And we've had water tests done in our water at home, obviously, as you know, and it's very low, in fact, zero, in actual fact. Because I think we're doing stuff to mitigate that.
So you're advocating for 15%. Is that irrespective of the size of the farm? Like even small farms should only be 15%?
I'm really advocating for no consent, but if we have to have a consent, then it definitely be the 15%. And I do believe that the 15% is the whole point of it, is that it's relative. You keep it at 15%, it's relative to the size of the farm.
And you don't think there needs to be a cap on very big farms? Like 2,000 hectares would be 300 hectares, for example.
Yeah, that's a lot. Mm. But again, it's... So I think when you're doing that, because this is where I was trying to keep away from, is that, because I don't like sort of picking on another branch of another farming type, if you like. But I mean, when you're just doing a normal sheep and beef unit, feeding your own stock, you're not going to get to anything like that area. It's the difference between that and having a specialist winter grazing unit. I think that's where you possibly do have an issue,
right?
Because that's again, it's the same point again. Is that, but that trigger will be that 15%.
Yeah.
Because if you've got a specialised winter grazing unit, then you're going to have a lot of crop.
Mm. Okay. Thanks.
And I have no further questions. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks very much, guys.